For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another wonderful show in store for you today. Hey, did you guys catch my show last week with Paul Levy? It was a wonderful interview. If you did not listen to it, I highly recommend you catch the replay on talkradio.nyc or on our YouTube channel or on any of the podcasting apps. But it was wonderful. And I have a great guest coming up today, and I want to introduce her in just a moment. But first, of course, we have my blog post just going in order from a couple of years ago. And this one is entitled, Being Still Instead of Being Busy is far more productive. In the rush of our daily lives, it is easy to forget something very important that affects our lives in a very fundamental way. Yet it is so easy to lose in the face of all of our responsibilities. For our attention is often too externally focused, we can forget the internal. And to ignore our own needs, even the most important need we have, which is to take time for ourselves, to take a moment and pause, and to breathe, to take a few minutes and unwind from the tension of the day. We usually do not realize how important it truly is to take a moment to just sit and be still. Stopping our activity for a few minutes, centering ourselves and being quiet, cutting out the input of screens, phones, and other people, making some space out of our busy, hectic lives to spend some time with ourselves. This is no small thing, for how can we know how we truly feel if we do not give ourselves a moment to sit and feel? Indeed, one of the most important things for us to do is to know how we truly feel about something, about everything, even about our lives. When we live our life just rushing from one thing to another without giving ourselves space to feel, we can miss what is most important to us. To feel the love we have and sink into that connection, or notice the pain we carry and how that pain affects us throughout the day. There is a wide range of feelings and emotions that are right under the surface waiting to come out. We need only to give it some space and time to bubble up from the unconscious. Yet we rush around from work to home to friends to family to chores to responsibilities without taking a moment to just feel where we are at, to notice the way we are carrying ourselves, both internally and externally. Taking a few precious moments to just sit and do nothing can be the most fruitful thing we do all day. So in the midst of all our doings in our busy days, perhaps we can strive to just be for a few moments and see how it feels. Do you take time in your life to just be? What can you do to create some space and have a practice of just being still? So this blog post is definitely the pot calling the kettle black. I wrote it probably more for myself than for anybody else, because so often I do find myself rushing from one Zoom meeting to another, from one task to another. And then once all the doing is over and I can just sit and be for a moment, I just remind myself that, like, oh, I really need to just take some time and sit. My wife, who's a therapist, and she's really wonderful at being very present with people, and we often have conversations around this. And one of the things that in some ways it's kind of obvious, but it's easy to forget, is that in order to really be present, we need to take a moment to center ourselves, to be focused, to be with whoever we're going to be with. And so this blog post was me kind of writing to myself, trying to remind myself that, like, hey, you know, sometimes just taking a few moments to just sit and drop into what we're feeling in the moment, sometimes that can be the most productive thing we do all day long. And it may not look like we're doing anything, but we actually are, and we're doing the thing that's actually the most important thing for us to do. So I don't know if that speaks to you or not, but hopefully you get something out of it. Again, the title of this blog post is Being Still Instead of Being Busy is Far More Productive. And of course, you can always find my blog post at theconsciousconsultant.com or on talkradio.nyc/blog. All right. Now, it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show shamanic teacher, healer, and author, Linda Starwolf.
Hi, Sam.
Hi. Starwolf has been a shamanic visionary teacher and guide to thousands of people over the last four decades. She draws much of her wisdom from personal experience of using breath to fortify connection to one's own life force energy. The author of 13 books, including, The Aquarian Shaman, Starwolf is the creator of Shamanic Breathwork, the Shamanic Healing Initiatory Process, the founder of Venus Rising Association for Transformation, and founding president of Venus Rising University for Shamanic Psycho-Spiritual Studies. Starwolf is also co-founder of the Shamanic Mystery Tours and guides spiritual seekers to sacred sites worldwide. Dedicating her life to assisting soul seekers to transform and embrace their lives, Star teaches how to embody the shaman within and step into a life of passionate soul purpose. Her commitment to sacred activism and visionary leadership led her to create the Shamanic Ministries Global Network and train shamanic breathwork facilitators from around the world. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Star.
Thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. And I loved how you started off everything, because I've been running around this morning too. So it was like, oh, well, he's doing that. I can take a moment to drop in and slow my brain down and just open my heart and see what's really there. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, somehow the blog posts always seem to be so appropriate for whoever I have coming on for the show that day. So I always like to start off just with a little bit of background for our audience. So how does someone like yourself, who by all appearances, I don't want to assume, is not indigenous by heritage, get involved in shamanism and get involved in with all these very indigenous practices?
Well, that's a great question, and frequently I'm asked that question, and so I love to answer it. And, you know, indigenous means belonging to the earth.
Ah.
And I grew up in Western Kentucky. You know, I'm 72, I'll be 73 this year, and back when I was a little girl, we went barefoot from the time schools out, you know, mm-hmm. All summer long. We took off our shoes and we didn't put them back on until we went back to school. And wow. So, and I grew up on a farm with my grandparents. My parents were just lived a mile away and they were young parents that worked. So I had this wonderful time as an only child and at the time an only grandchild for several years. Of being with these wonderful people from the old country. Their parents had come from the old country in Europe. And I was able to absorb, I would say, the biomes, the nature spirits, the energies of the earth, from the creatures we had all around us, the animals on the farm. I had my own collection of rabbits and chickens and all kinds of turtles and fish and hamsters and birds that had broken wings and all kinds of things. So it was kind of like there used to be a book years ago, I think it was called Heidi or something, where a little girl lived up on the mountain with her grandparents. So for me, I feel as indigenous as anyone in that way. And that's not to discredit the indigenous peoples around the world. But it also means that as I got older, that I became very interested in the different cultures and started my travels and started seeking out different elders from different nations, different tribes. And I found this warm, loving reception with these individuals that just got my soul and who I was right off the bat, and was adopted by Seneca Wolf Clan grandmother Twyla Nitch, who has passed when she was 94 some years ago.
Wow.
And she gave me my name, Star Wolf, and taught me intimately and charged me with the task of taking her medicine back out into the world. So that's the abbreviated version of a long lifetime of connection to indigenous ways.
Mm-hmm. So this was something that started relatively young for you and really has been a part of your life for so long. I'm curious, when you started, you know, spending time with various tribes and different indigenous teachers, were you having challenges with your family? Like, were they like, you know, Linda, what are you doing? Star, what are you doing? I mean, did people think you had lost it, or were they relatively accepting of what you were investigating?
Well, there were a few camps, so to speak.
Okay.
My mother's like, Linda, how'd you get into all this? I'm like, well, mama, you're mama. You know, it skips a generation, you know, because my mother wanted to be modern. She wanted to have air conditioning and a dishwasher and things that people before her generation didn't have. Okay. So it was a different world. Meanwhile, as soon as I could get outside, my shoes came off, you know, and if I could get outside, that was where I wanted to be. Mom wanted to be in the air conditioning. So my mom's 94 now and I'm her caretaker now. And, you know, it's a whole different journey with me, but it's, I just remember I was back when I was a little kid, I was called they called them tomboys.
Right.
Right. Cause I liked to do what the boys did instead of what the girls did. I liked to be in the creek and with the tadpoles and in the trees and in, you know, those, and that sort of thing. So there's that world. And, you know, of just the family kind of wondering, like, you know, telling me to be a lady or to act a certain way. But my grandmother, who was more indigenous, saying, let's go down to the chicken yard. My mother didn't like for me to go in the chicken yard with bare feet for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
My grandmother would say, it's good for her. It's good for her. What I know now is biomes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But my grandma just say, it's good for her, you know.
Yeah.
So there was, now as I got older, and, you know, I was a hippie during the 70s, still am. just call it different now. Hippies transformed into shamans is what happened.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And so I went to the University of Kentucky. I became a licensed clinical social worker. Later on, I became an addiction specialist. And I started working in that arena. But then I was also, you know, you can't really take the little country earth girl and the hippie out of anybody.
Yeah.
So you just morph it and disguise it and put on pantyhose and, you know, those sort of things. So, but eventually pantyhose become too tight and you throw them off again and you say, okay, I can't really work in the constraints, even though there's good work going on in the addiction centers and the hospitals and things. I could feel that it was too constrained and that we were only doing a portion. We were doing good stuff, but only a portion of what we could do for individuals. And I also was no stranger to my own addictions and issues and things and had worked through a lot of those things. Still am all those years later, you know. But, you know, some things I've put to rest and some things I'm like, oh, my goodness, this needs some work, you know.
Yeah.
But just to kind of bring it up to date is that at some point there was just this different awakening. And it really came when I first started doing breath work. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, and I had big inner changes, and it was like I opened up another part of my mind, of my consciousness, like I had earlier on when I was doing psychedelics and things, except this was with the breath. And everything just started coming together, my childhood, you know, my studies in school, my experiences, and finding indigenous peoples or them finding me. And it all just became one journey. Finally, it just merged for me. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't different hats. It was just one hat. And it was, I called it shamanic psycho-spiritual consciousness. So it involved all those things. So people around me, some people thought it was cool and great.
Yeah.
Other people thought I was an agent of the devil.
That's
literally what they said. She's an agent of the devil, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, he doesn't pay enough.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, thank you, Star. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk about what it means to be a shaman, and what does that, you know, mean for people? Because I think we all kind of assume we know what the term means because it's so commonly used these days, but it, not necessarily. So just a reminder, we're talking to Linda Starwolf, author of the book, The Aquarian Shaman. We're going to talk about the book for sure. And we will be right back in just a moment. This is the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back in a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Linda Starwolf, author of the book, The Aquarian Shaman, and shamanic breathwork teacher and healer. And, you know, you mentioned before about psychedelics, and a lot of people these days, when they hear people talking about shamans, they immediately think of plant medicine work, serving ayahuasca, doing all that kind of stuff. But being a shaman is actually much more than just that. That's one particular thing. So Star, what does being a shaman mean to you?
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of answers to that. For one thing, you know, in indigenous tribes around the world, people are born into certain, I guess you could say, ethnic and tribal traditions. And frequently, someone will rise up within that tribe as a leader. Sometimes it's the son or daughter of the tribal leader or shaman, that sort of thing, and they learn in those ways. Or someone's called to it. Frequently, whether it's in a traditional tribe or whether it's in what I will call the Aquarian Shaman, I'll speak more about that in a moment. Mm-hmm. There is something that happens in someone's life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a near-death experience, mm-hmm. or where they're resuscitated and they come back. I've had two near-death experiences where I died for a moment. Ooh. One I was struck by lightning, and one when I was younger and an adolescent with drugs. And that's when I came into a different awareness around that. Mm-hmm. So it was a rock festival, you know, go figure. But anyway, I've had two near death experiences. Wow. So, a lot of people think of that as that because there's been a lot of writing about that as that's a prerequisite. It is not a prerequisite to die. You don't mm-hmm. have to die to be a shaman. But the shaman energy itself does have to do with of the earth. And it does have to do with the elemental world of water, earth, fire, and air. So it has to do with the environment. It has to do with life and birth and death and rebirth. So those who are particularly interested in the cycles of change and how things transform on this planet, including consciousness, have always been the medicine people, the shamans, the witches, whatever you want to say, you know, the healers, before it became so clinical. And I'm not against clinical medicine at all. I'm just saying that before it became that, it was something else. And it was treated more holistically. If you had an illness or an injury, they might say, the shaman might say, tell me about your mother, you know, out of the blue. Or, you know, what was your dreams? Or, you know, what are you learning from this illness? Frequently, an illness would go away as soon as you knew the meaning of it. Mm, so there was a whole way of looking at health and wholeness and connection to the earth and to your tribe and all those kinds of things that was very different than maybe what you would get from most medical people today. Again, I don't mean to be critical. I have many wonderful friends, actually, who are in the medical field. Especially the American Board of Holistic Health and things like that, who are very universal in the way they treat medicines and people and those kind of things. So I'm not anti, but I do think that we've lost something, and that I think that's why people are returning to those medicines. One other thing, Sam, to mention is that I don't do any psychedelics of any kind except the breathing. And some cacao occasionally, those kinds of things. I'm kind of like over it. I'm like, I'm so altered already. I don't need anything else.
Right.
But I know that, you know, I have different friends and people who are very dedicated to working with certain plant medicines and things like that. But the work that I specifically do and that I train people to do is using what you have, your breath and your own consciousness. And, and there's different components to the work we do, but the main thing is the sacred breath and being in ceremony with that and doing breathing exercises in order to activate the chemicals in your body that create the altered states.
Right. And you mentioned ceremony, being in ceremony. And one of the things that actually is something that in modern times we've in a way kind of lost sight of is the power of ritual and ceremony. And so I'm wondering, how do you use ceremony to support the work that you do in helping people to heal?
Well, for me, whether I do a private session for someone or like we just finished a 2-week intensive, 4 hours a night for 2 weeks for people from around the world, intensive shamanic healing initiatory process to go through for 14 days. So they were on with us every day for 4 hours. It was actually from 7 to 11 at night.
Wow.
That container was held as a 14-day ceremony. So we say you are entering into this ceremony. We ask that you do not use any mind-altering substances during this time. You know, we have a whole thing that people sign off on, that they're going to be with us. They're going to be exploring deeply. And this is whether we do this in person. Most of our events are 2-week-long intensives in different places, either in person here at our retreat center in North Carolina or online, or like we were in Costa Rica last year, Egypt last year. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you get the gist. So we're interested in people who want to sincerely heal and change their lives and or become consciousness teachers themselves and leaders of this work. Mm-hmm. And there's several levels one has to go through in order to kind of be at a full level to be able to do that. But we're really not interested in working with people who aren't interested in doing their own healing. I have an assumption that everybody's a little bit screwed up. Okay. But I'm just going on my own. I just, you know, and that's meant in a good way, that, you know, you're a product of your family, which I love them, but still family of origin issues. People come in and I say, one of the first things we're going to do is some family of origin work. And they'll go, that's not shamanic. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's the most shamanic thing I know of is our family of origin, no matter how we love them or estranged or not or whatever. My mother could train anybody to be a shaman. I can't. She's still at it too at 94. So,
God bless. So,
but and then we also say that from the family of origin work comes and your family of origin also means your schools, your churches, your synagogues, your whole you know upbringing. That creates your shadow. And I'm very much into Jungian psychology, have been for a very long time, and we teach about the shadow. And that everybody has a shadow, and that we, how to pull our projections back and own what we can change, which is ourselves. And so there's a lot more to it, but so there's a strong psychological part to that comes into the medicine, and our medicine is using the breath and going into altered states, and then doing mandala work and deep artwork and the deep process and sharing to integrate all that together. So it's very comprehensive. It's not just like, come here, lie down, get high, get this experience, and then bye. That's not the work we do.
Right. Exactly. I mean, 4 hours a day for 2 weeks straight, that's an intense commitment, and that's definitely an intense experience. Beautiful. Okay. We need to take another break. When we come back, let's talk about your book, The Aquarian Shaman, and especially I want to get into the title and why you wrote the book, who is it for, and what the book is all about. Okay, Star?
Sure. Sounds great.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking this hour with Linda Starwolf, author of the book, The Aquarian Shaman. We'll be right back to talk all about it in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour. So, Linda, you have a slightly different approach, I guess, to shamanism than some other people. And even your book, the title, The Aquarian Shaman, even that's something that's kind of different. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody putting those two terms together. I know you've written many, many books, so I'm just curious, what was the inspiration for writing this book, and who did you really write it for?
Well, Sam, it's interesting because I've been trying to write this book for probably 15 years. And like I said, you know, growing up in the 60s and 70s, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Not quite yet, you know, yeah. Sort of thing. But that was... That was planted in my little hippie soul all those years ago, and what that meant. And, you know, I really, well, I have my Mars, my Venus, and, you know, my midheaven, everything all in Aquarius anyway. You know, I'm a good Sagittarian sun sign, but everything else is, so I got a lot of fire, but everything else about me is Aquarian in that. And what I mean about that is you know, I claim it. I have been a visionary in my
life. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Whole life. Mm-hmm. I've always seen things sometimes a little bit earlier, perhaps, than a lot of people. I used to kind of freak out my parents and things around those kind of things. I'd have dreams, tell them, they would come true. So there was kind of the family kind of like, well, you know, Linda's weird. Linda's strange, or, you know, as my cousin used to say, she ain't right. So, you know, I just, so there was that part of me. I'm laughing about it now. As a child, I frequently, as an only child, and with that kind of projection, felt, different. I guess a lot of people feel that way, but I felt different, strange. Maybe something was wrong with me, you know, in my own healing and transformation over the years, coming out of my own addictions, various things. I just began to love and accept myself the way I am. Mm-hmm. And how I began to really identify this is I had a mystical cousin who actually had been friends with other mystics and teachers. And she had said to me, you know, this is who you are. And she was my mother's age, but she was my mm-hmm. mother's first cousin. But she really saw me, and she herself was a town psychic and tarot reader in the little town that was hush-hush, you know. So she kind of spurred me on, much to my mother's, like, no, you know, sort of thing. Good old Margaret Jean. Yeah. But it was her that, where I felt normal, between my grandmother and Margaret Jean. And Margaret Jean had known Edgar Cayce, who lived 30 minutes from where we lived, those kinds of things.
Oh, geez.
So there was this, you know, I feel like I was, you know, that the Creator strategically placed me in this place where I could go through these obstacles, but have these kind of down-home mystical people that were I guess you could say, in the, you know, right there in the eaves waiting for me. As I grew up and became more aware of mysticism and shamanism in my studies, I loved it and just went dove into it. And I began to find these indigenous elders. Oddly enough, this little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl from Western Kentucky, it was as if they recognized me, you know, and immediately took me under their wing. Sometimes I'd be the only non-native person in a lodge or in a ceremony of some kind. And so there was something that just happened, Sam, that you can't really choreograph or make happen. And I think, you know, Grandmother Twilight said to me, she could feel my heart. She could feel my indigenous heart. And she's the one who said to me when I said, you know, I'm not native. And she said, yes, you are. You're native to the earth. We all are. We all belong to the earth. And we all have we just come from different tribes. Your people came from Europe. We all have tribes and we're all native. And it's when people forget their indigenous roots, forget that they belong to not only the heavens, but to the earth, that they lose their souls. And so for me, as I was going on along, a part of me began to heal myself and transform myself. And I felt, okay, shaman, I understand shaman, death and rebirth. Those usually have had either a near-death experience or at least a psychic death experience. I definitely fit into that. But what does that mean? You know, and what I really came to understand, it was someone who understood death and rebirth and the cycles of change and the elemental world, and who was dedicated to the beauty of this world as well as the heaven worlds, and to being a good person and to walk upon the earth in a good way, to carry, find out what your medicine is, whatever it is, and carry that in a good way. And as I began to dive more into shamanism, I also started feeling this energy around the Aquarian energy. What does it mean, the Age of Enlightenment? And gradually it all came together in my consciousness that the new era of shamans were not necessarily the remote tribes like that I've been with in Peru or other places, but that they could only do so much for us. They could tell us, they could leave the messages, they could tell people who come to their countries, but there's 8 billion of us, going on 9 billion of us. How can we reach everyone at some level? And then it was more like a download, I guess you could say, that we're physically moving into what's called the Aquarian Age, astrologically. That's a reality, that the Aquarian vibe. And at a time when shamanism is rising around the world and where people, young people are going all around the world to study with shamans, okay, and to go and breathe and to do different medicines and that sort of thing. So it's kind of like the rock festivals during the 60s and 70s that rose up at another octave. But instead of, you know, drugs, sex, and rock and roll, it's sex and plant medicine and rock and roll. But hopefully at another octave where people are a little bit more conscious. And so for me, the Aquarian shaman is for those of us who are doing like you, that conscious cult and start now, or the who are awakening to our own dharma, who are awakening to a bigger purpose, and who care about this earth. We believe in maybe the aliens will come and save us, who knows? All of that. It's not that we discount other dimensions and realities, but as Grandmother Twilight said, you have plenty of time for that later. You're here on earth for a reason. And so to me, the bringing this Aquarian values of love, peace, harmony, and understanding, and the hard work that it takes to create that in our personal lives and then bring that out into the world in some meaningful way, to me, that's what the Aquarian path is. And that means you have to work with the real world of earth, water, fire, and air, people, animals, consciousness. And I have found many people who are willing to walk the spiral path of transformation to heal themselves and help others heal themselves. And I think that's the only way that we really are going to change, is to know thyself.
Yeah, it's so interesting what you're saying, because just yesterday I was having a conversation with a group of friends around sort of people who tend to spiritually bypass, who are like, oh, I'm a starseed. I don't feel any anger or hate. I'm above all this. And it's like, really? You know, and be curious about that. And yeah, maybe, but you know, are they really being present to what's happening in their life? And it sounds like what you're saying, like the Aquarian shaman is sort of like the bridge between the ancient world and the future worlds.
Absolutely. And I don't mean to be negative, but if I feel at some level, if we're not a bit outraged, we're in spiritual bypass and that something's wrong, you know, first of all, Creator gave us these emotions, all of them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That there's, you know, didn't he go, oops, or she didn't go, oops, I've made a mistake. I the whole range of emotions that we have is emotional intelligence. It tells us something's great, something's going well, something's wrong.
Right.
You know, those kinds of things. And then we have to discern what that is and, you know, see what it is that we personally can change or work together to change or to accept that we can't. You know, there's so much going on in the world right now. I'm not going to go into all of it right now. We'd be here for 10 hours.
Yeah.
But there's so much that's going on in the world, and especially here in the ununited states, you know, that's going on. And if these aren't shamanic times, I don't know what are.
Yeah,
I don't know what shamanic times. I mean, this is about a shaman. I mean, I thought the '60s was shamanic.
Oh, yeah,
that was feels like a walk in the park at this moment. And so I'm just like, whoa. So okay, you know. So what does it mean to be an Aquarian shaman during these incredibly transformational times? What does it mean?
Right.
So this is where everybody has the opportunity to say, well, I by myself can just change a few things about myself and maybe my immediate environment, or maybe I can make some sort of discovery, scientific discovery. But most of us are just saying, is there anything I truly can do? Yeah. And I would say be a really good human being to the best of our ability. And that's not about spiritual bypass. But it's also about not denying the negativity, the destructive forces that are going on. Right. And perhaps these destructive forces, quote, were always going to happen at some level to awaken a new level of consciousness. So I do believe in bigger pictures and bigger stories. But that's the outcome after a lot of hard work.
Right.
Dedicated work of consciousness. So yes, that may be the projected outcome and the reason for this time. But that doesn't give us a get out of jail free card. In fact, it calls us to be even more aware, more conscious, and more dedicated to being who it is we really are. To me, that's who an Aquarian shaman really is. In my book, I talk about people from all walks of life that I've worked with. I've been working, Sam, with people for a very long time. Many of these people are doing wonderful things in the world, and some never light a piece of smudge in their life. You know, it's not about that. Yeah. It's about being that healer and teacher, learning from your own journey, and then feeling a deep calling, such as you have, a deep calling to do what you're doing, to bring consciousness to the planet, and to make a difference if we can.
Yeah, exactly. Really about finding our own inner gifts that we can share with people. I remember someone once said, Our purpose in life is to discover our true gifts, and our mission in life is to share them with others.
Yes. Beautiful.
I'm wondering, you've been at this for so long. I mean, you've been doing breath work in the 70s and 80s, long before most people even heard of breath work. They would be like, what, breathing? Of course, everyone breathes. I'm breathing. I'm wondering, after all these years, are there still challenges you face, or are there still things that are difficult for you, or like is everything just, you know, you can be just neutral and compassionate to everything that goes on?
I wish. I have a great sense of humor, okay, and a great sense of shadow awareness. I lived with a man for 7 years, we were beloveds for 7 years, who wrote the book called The Shadow, Jeremiah Abrams. And it's a beautiful, you know, Jungian collection of books. And that really helped me come out of my, I guess you could say, spiritual bypass, because I was very peace, love, and Woodstock, you know. And as I continued to do my own inner work and dive into Jungian work and shadow work and go deeper into the breath work and to the parts of my childhood that I really hadn't, you know, looked at, things like that. Just doing the inner work is what I call it. Mm-hmm. And really doing it. Not that it's your, you know, your past is always your past, and it's still informing you whether you want it to or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to take charge of your life. You can go, oh, that's that pattern that comes mm-hmm. up from time to time. But I find that for myself, you know, that I feel like I'm this soul, if you will, that's sitting here, and that swirling around me is everything that I've ever been, every lifetime, every age of this time, and that I'm floating around in a large sphere of consciousness, and then I'm connected to the consciousness of others that I'm close with, and then I'm connected to the consciousness of animals and to nature and to the stars and to past lives and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe I did too much acid during the 60s. I don't know. But I can feel all of it as if I'm, you know, the cartoon character Pigpen?
Yeah.
And Charlie Brown, everything's mm-hmm. swirling around him. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's how I feel a lot. And, you know, that it's all swirling around. But I've done so much consciousness work around it. It feels whole for me. All these disparate, if you will, parts just feels like different aspects of me. And there's some central part of me that's in the center of that, that I would call my Aquarian shaman, that loves and accepts me, that sees who I am, that pats me on the back and tells me I'm doing a pretty good job and reminds me of some other things I could still be working on. And to look out in the world and to say, these are shamanic times, you know? And I don't want to make it too dear, because there's always been shamanic times on this planet. It's always been a planet of birth, death, and rebirth. But this was specifically written in the stars, that we would have a time of tremendous chaos during this time.
Yeah.
And that as above, so below, that as things were moving in the cosmos, it would shake things up here. And as it shook things up here, it's literally shaking. It's like shaking a rug out, getting the stuff out of the, you know, to shake
it
out.
Right. Shaking all the dirt out.
To see if we can honestly, I want to say, be a successful experiment on this planet. If we can successfully awaken those unconscious parts of ourselves that's connected to the consciousness of the shaman, of the Aquarian shaman for the Aquarian age. We know what the shamans of the past look like.
Right.
What do the shamans of the present and the future look like? And my words would be, tag, you're it.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful, Linda. Thank you, Star. Okay, we're going to take our last break of the show. When we come back, I want to talk about where do you see things going? What does the future look like to you? And who do you see coming to you today that's maybe different than who came to you in the past? So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Linda Starwolf, author of the book The Aquarian Shaman, and we'll be right back to wrap it all up in just a moment.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So Starwolf, I'm always curious to hear people's perspective about sort of the change over the last number of years of who's showing up and like who is drawn to you today to learn about the path of the Aquarian shaman compared to the past. Like, how are they different? What are people looking for today?
Well, it's still really interesting, Sam, that you're saying that, because when I started teaching this work 30 plus years ago, really, I keep thinking, was it really that long? Was it really closer to 40? You know, it's like, okay. Anyway, who's counting? We're having fun, huh? But early on, quite a few of the people that were interested, I had a couple of different groups. I had disgruntled women in Kentucky. So I had a lot of women that I was working with at that time. And it was actually women that were considered kind of, in our little town, kind of higher class, like the doctor's wives and things like that, that kind of thing, you know, and stuff and those kind of things. And as time has gone by, I've had a lot of actually medical doctors and people in the helping professions is what I would say. I've been very, very drawn to the work. And so a lot of times I was thinking about one of the earliest trainings I did. Almost everybody in that group was members of the American Board of Holistic Medicine, you know, chiropractors, psychiatrists. One guy was a colonel and from the Vietnam War, you know, those kinds of things. So that was kind of a that kind of crew. Right now, for instance, I'll give you like the last, instead of the online one we just did, I'll say the one we did in last winter. In Costa Rica in December, we had like 30 people for 2 weeks and at the Goddess Garden there going through the training and healing. You have to go through the healing in order to be in our training. So it's healing and training. And I would say we had people ranging in age from 20 to 65. I would say the biggest majority of people were in their 30s to early 40s. Almost everyone had done some other kinds of breath work, plant medicines, yoga teacher trainings, festivals. Almost the way we used to go to rock festivals and concerts and things and stuff. So it's kind of become not just something, you know, it's become kind of a pastime almost to that consciousness has become really popular and healing and transformation has become really popular, which is a great thing. But it's a different clientele. Some of these people don't have any quote credentials that would necessarily say that they could be a healer or, you know, this or that sort of thing, or a counselor. And then we have some professionals there who are wanting to add this to their profession. So it's a mixed bag. And we have a lot of people, quite frankly, who come mainly for the healing. And then they get hooked and say, I want to share this with others. And so they come back and come through it again to then go into, because we have different levels of training that you can go through. To become a shamanic minister, to become a shamanic breathwork facilitator, become a shamanic teacher, shamanic psycho-spiritual teacher. So people are looking for a lot of different things. I would say the biggest thing, though, is really wonderful, is people are looking for their own personal healing and transformation. And they also know that they really want to do something to help other people, too. And that they probably should be looking at how to clear up some of their own stuff before they really dive into holding space. And that's exactly what we want them to learn. So the second go around, when they go through the second 2 week long, they move into a different level of being able to start doing more of that. And they're still doing healing inner work, but they're moving more towards now how they're going to deliver these services to other people. We have several different levels that people can go through. But and we are an accredited shamanic breathwork school. With the breathwork accreditation, so people can go through certain levels and become accredited themselves. And we also authorize people after a certain level to kind of go on their own and do their own trainings. So we're trying to spread the work as much as we can around the world.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We don't have a lot of time left. I'm just curious, with all the things that you've been through and what you see going on today, what piece of advice would you have for our audience for facing these chaotic times, with people concerned about everything from artificial intelligence to what's going on the world stage, to what's going on in the American government, to what's going on locally and the polarization and the division? I mean, what have you learned through all of this work that supports you the most right now that you feel would help our audience?
First of all, I would say please don't lose your heart. Don't close your heart. And even though you may have family members and different people and things going different directions and where you're going, and you're thinking, how can they possibly, whatever, keep breathing, keep centering yourself, and seriously, keep coming back to yourself. And don't villainize people that you love or care for who think and feel differently than you. Even though you'd like to shake them or do whatever, they might want to do the same to you, but still, try to remain kind. And I'm not saying codependent. I'm saying try to remain kind, because your unkindness will only drive people the other direction. Have other people that you're really close with that totally agree with you, that you can just go like, rah, 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 and let it out with each other and say, how can they think this way? How can this be happening? Don't pretend that you're not angry, frustrated, disappointed, scared, wondering, WTF. I mean, don't deny that to yourself. Make sure you have some good buddies that are good shadow partners that can really get your energy out. Do some shamanic breath work. Do whatever it is you need to do. Do your prayers, do your walk, whatever it is that you need to do that will ground you and help you come back to yourself. Keep coming back to yourself. Keep an open mind and an open perspective. And at the same time, keep doing the work that you need to do first for yourself. Put your own seatbelt on first. And then what can you do for others? Seriously, what can you do to support others? And how can you remain kind and understanding and understand that we may not understand what's going on right now in the bigger picture? And there's so many behind the scene things everywhere. But have we ever really, as far as the world goes, you know what I'm saying? Things come to the surface, it's always been there. I think the Aquarian times, remember that the Aquarian time, Aquarius energy is an energy that blows things up. It always is.
It's
It's
the
chaotic.
revolutionary.
It's revolutionary. So, my prayer is that these chaotic, revolutionary, transformational times are going to bring us, my hope and prayer is, into what we've envisioned as an Aquarian age. Some of us may not live to see it, but at least we can, be there holding space for it. And, keep taking good care of yourself on all levels. Keep praying. Keep breathing. Keep being as kind as you can. And when you need to beat on pillows and say four-letter words, do it. Go for it. That's what we do in breath work. Get it out. Don't pretend that you don't feel that. It'll make you sick.
I just saw an article the other day that said that, like, saying a whole bunch of curse words when you're upset or angry is actually very healthy for you.
Yeah, it gets it out. It really does. And then, don't still project it on anybody else. Just get rid of it. And if we can, maybe collectively, the dream could be, Sam, is that we could hold the vision that this time is transformative, and it's just like a baby coming through the birth canal. It's going to be a little bit bloody. It's going to be a little bit messy. It's going to be maybe some screaming and kicking and crying. But maybe if we stay conscious and hold the energy, just maybe there's a plan bigger than us. And maybe we can come out on the other side and clean ourselves off and see a new rebirth happening for in consciousness on this planet. And that's the vision that I'm going to hold to.
Well, I hope both you and I live to see that day. So, it's been wonderful having you, Star. If people want to learn more about you, get in touch with you, what's your website? Where can people go to learn more?
It's so easy. It's just shamanicbreathwork.org. And if you
Shamanic.
put Star Wolf on, Yeah, just put it in. I'll probably come up these days. So
yeah.
I've been getting around for a while now.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Star. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to come on my show. It's been a pleasure having you. Again, Linda Starwolf, author of the book The Aquarian Shaman, and 12 other books. Like, you've written a lot. So definitely check her out. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam. Thanks for the good work. I'll be in New York later on this year, so maybe we'll connect.
Oh, please let me know when you're in New York. I would love to meet you in person. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in. Without you, there is no show. If you liked any part of today's show, please share it with your friends, your family members, your colleagues, whoever you think would be interested in it. And if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and on all the podcasting platforms, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.